guide us, grant us an understanding of what you want us to take away from this time now. Amen. So for the kids, I have, if there's a finder word at the back, if they would like it, and anyone else who would like to do that as well, all on time. So there's some sheets there Graham wants to give to the others if they would like to do that one. And so this is part two of a series called Simplify that has been developed by Bill Hybels. And so it challenged us is to get rid of three words in our vocabulary: being overwhelmed, being overscheduled, and being exhausted. So last week, Dan spoke on the exhausted part of that. And if you missed it or want to hear it again, you can go to the St. Susie Baptist Church website and click on the link for podcasts. And Lance thought it might not be there, but it was, because I listened to it yesterday. I thought I'd better listen to what he said if I was going to follow him. And so, yes, it is there to do that one. He spoke about how dangerous it is to allow ourselves to get depleted. And he showed this bucket of fullness. Now, I don't know what bucket he had, so I created my own. When you live all the way, you know, with everything being full, full of God, full of love, full of relationships, full of physical energy, you make the best decisions. You pray your best prayers. You love your family the best. And you're good with God and the world. But when you're at the bottom of your fullness bucket, you're dangerous. When you're depleted and on empty, that's a sad state to be in. Everybody around you knows it. You feel it. You know it. And when you're in that rut, it's hard to get out of it. And I know. Sadly, I really know what that's like. And I'm very aware that it's not a joy to be around me when I'm in that state. And there was a period of time where I was significantly in that state. In fact, I didn't want to be around me. And that leads to depression. That's a contributor. When you are working on empty or nothing to charge you, then you want to give up. And it had been going on for so long in my own life that I needed to make some serious decisions to bring about change. And Dan put language to that last week. He said that the bottom is no place to live on a constant basis. And so we have to take responsibility and some custom design of streams of replenishment. We have to take responsibility for refining our life's bucket, so that we can feel and live more at that level that God desires us and not get down to that depleted level. So Dan's message looked about, you know, not being exhausted all the time. Well, today I want to look at being overscheduled. Many places that I go around, you know, I hear this chronic complaint, especially from Christians. I'm so busy. Overscheduled. And if you ask me, you know, how's your week been? I had to bite my tongue and not say, oh, busy. Because that often is the answer. And being busy is not being productive, is not being effective. And often when people say I'm busy, we actually brag about it. And so, but I don't need to wonder why so many of us feel rushed and frenzied. It's part of my life. So we want to look at that today. And once again, you know, any of you who have ever prepared a talk and all that find, you know, that, you know, it wouldn't matter if you didn't turn up. God's already done some work in me in looking at this. But I'm glad you're here so that I can share that, because hopefully God's going to do something for you as well. Actually, I know he will, just don't know what it is. Because I've had to reflect on how often, you know, about because of being overscheduled also means I'm often late to events and due to just having, and places, because of having too much on my plate. Bill Hybel tells this story. Shortly after I became a Christian, this older guy wanted to build into my life, which I was grateful for. Takes me out to lunch one day and tells me that Christ followers should think totally different about time. And I'm like, what? Like, this is Bill speaking. I'm only 18, 19 years old, and he's taking me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So particularly verse 16, where it talks about redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. It was a little complicated for me at that age, I must admit. But then, just as he gets up to leave, he says, here's the question I want to leave with you, young man. What would your schedule look like, or how would you spend your time if God was in charge of it? He left, and I sat there and I asked the waitress if I could have a pencil and a paper, and I wrote down this guy's question. What would my schedule look like if God was in charge of it? What a great question. What a challenging question. So let that question sit with us for a moment. What would my schedule look like if God was in charge of it? So I've given some thought to that, just even since reading Bill's story. I've begun to study Jesus' schedule. His daily schedule, his weekly schedule, his monthly schedule. He had 3 years to do what he'd come to do as an adult. Consider the schedules of some great leaders throughout world history. Did you know that Winston Churchill worked from his bed? He worked in bed until 11 o'clock or 12 noon every day, and he'd awaken about 7 a.m. and just work from bed until such time. I can identify with that. I don't work in bed, but I do work in my pajamas. When I don't have to go anywhere, I can work at home. It's great. Did you know that Leonardo da Vinci would take 2-hour naps whenever he got tired so he wouldn't have to waste a time block of 8 hours on some nights? So just 2-hour bursts of naps throughout the course of his day, that was his schedule. That's appealing. Not sure how job situation would accommodate that, but a lot of people who have led interesting lives throughout history did so with very strange schedules. And here's the thing. They experimented with their schedules until they found a formula that really worked for them. They didn't have to have a schedule that looked like anyone else's. They had that power of individualism that said, I don't have to conform to societal's standard or etiquette. The thought of a lot of these very interesting people makes me think about, you know, how do I make that work for me? So anyone who knows me will know that I'm, you know, refer to myself as nocturnal. I'm at my element at 11 to 2 at night. But don't ask me to do anything before 10 o'clock in the morning. And don't even talk to me in the morning. That's a real struggle. Now, when I was teaching, that was a big, big struggle. So, but I would always stay after school, get organized for the next day, so I didn't have to think about it. So I learned to manage, and I've learned to manage that. But I've also had to adjust because that doesn't always work. So you need to. So it brings me to this point. So what schedule works for you? And is it working for you? Now, some of you are sort of going, well, you know, I came to church to sort of, let's get into the Bible and let's talk about, you know, God, not about our diaries. Well, I actually agree with Bill Hybels that this is very relevant because our time is not our own time. It's God's time. And how we arrange our daily and weekly calendars, one of the holiest endeavours that we can put our hands to doing. What if I told you that drafting a new weekly or monthly schedule is like writing your whole future script for the next season of your life? What if I told you that your calendar or diaries plays an absolutely critical role in determining who you will become as a person, as a Christ follower, as a family member, as a friend? I believe that when we sit down to rewrite our schedules, we're making choices that have far greater implications than most people would ever imagine, which is why I do think it's important for us to spend the time to think about it. I'm learning that my schedule is far less about what I have to get done and far more about what I want to become. That old saying that we were created to be human beings, not human doings. How do most of us put our schedules together? So we might grab a piece of paper. I have a whiteboard at home that I, you know, of the things I want to get done, I put right up on that. I like lists because then I can tick them off. We might, you know, look at a calendar or our diaries or get out our electronic devices and we start listing what we need to do and where we need to be on certain days. So do you start with a list of what you need to get done? What you'd be in trouble for if you didn't? Or you neglected to do? We all have those lists that, you know, the have-to-dos, the shopping, the doing the homework, mowing the lawn, feeding the pets, those deadlines, meals, visiting, church, preparation. And when we get that whole list done, then we grit our teeth and we pray, God, help me pull this off for this week or for the next month or whatever we've planned. And people often do that, and they, you know, week after week after week, they're praying, just help me get through this. So I've put together lists most of my life. In recent years, when working with Godspace, my colleague Sally suggested that I set up prayer partners and to email to invite people to pray with me about what was happening for that week. So I'd regularly do that. I'd send them out on Sunday and it became a list of what was going to happen in the days to follow. And often I would get feedback from some people saying, I feel exhausted just reading it. And a few would ask, so where is your time off? And where's your time with God and others? Now, it was a summary of my week. It wasn't, you know, minute by minute. But they were ridiculously full. So these questions were quite confronting. And for a long time, most I ignored. And because of I ignored them, I and those around me suffered the consequences of living this unsustainable pace and an unnecessary one. I was also very conscious that I was always waving to my neighbours as I would come out to get in my car or when I was coming home exhausted. And I had no time for my neighbours to have a conversation, to get to know them. And I often would think, what picture am I portraying? Because on those rare occasions we'd have a conversation, I'd ask what I was doing and it would come out that I was a Christian and I was serving God, and I'm sure they'd go away thinking, well, I don't want that. If that's what your life is like, being a follower of Jesus, then I don't want that. It's too tiring. It's too busy. So to portray that the Christian life was so busy was not good. So I came back to this question presented to Bill Hybels. What would my schedule look like if God was in charge of it? How holistic could or should my schedule be? So in part of my times of setting aside to retreats, to go on retreats and to be still, I needed to ask myself, was I looking at this whole thing, you know, from the right perspective? Or wasn't I not looking at it at all? And then the clincher came when I asked myself, how much time, how much did I really involve God and praying for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit when I put down my schedule? Or was I just cranking out one more, you know, out more work, trying to cram more in? And then even this morning, as I was in the shower, I realized, and what about the things that I don't schedule? The things that I fall into the trap of, sitting and watching TV or Netflix. You might have Stan, or whatever it may be. People talk about, during the holidays, I'm going to binge watch da-da-da-da-da. I says, well, I can get into a binge watch easy. And they just click on over and over to the next one. And as I say, you know, particularly at night, when I, you know, if I'm not in bed by 10, I've got my second wind. I'm all fired up to go, and I can't go back to sleep. And so it's easy just to sit and watch, which just makes me more tired. So I need to ask God for the wisdom and then listen to the Holy Spirit's answer to that, of how I put together my schedule. And the answer will be different for each of us. As a single adult living on my own, well, I'm not, you know, I won't forget Sandy. It's all right, Nathaniel. I haven't forgot that I live with Sandy. But I don't have the same responsibilities of those of you who have a spouse or children. I have different responsibilities. Some of them are shared, but some are different, and some I don't even have to think about. Like many of you, I have a parent who is aging. And with my mum becoming more fragile, I've made it a priority to go visit her in Newcastle whenever I can. And my work, and so there'll be times why I'm not here. My work situation is a lot more fluid than others. So each of us will approach this differently. So then we have to ask ourselves, how do we view time? How do we view the use of this God-given time to us? Sam read to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where the writer expresses that everything has its place in time. There are seasons, and there are things that will happen and won't happen. And over time, everything will. Time is a very interesting to think about in how we manage it. We of Western traditions are very bound by time. Any of you who have been to Fiji or to PNG or to an African country, you know, I believe it's with an arrogance, say, oh, that's Fijian time. Well, that's PNG time. We dismiss their flexibility about time because we are so bound to it. We have man-made time zones that even we change. Having been in Perth recently, how frustrating it is that they're 3 hours behind. So if I wanted to talk to somebody before the end of business, I had to make sure I did it by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I had to be up sometimes at five. Now, if it's dark, I still think it's night, so I'm okay. That doesn't worry me. The more early mornings don't worry me. But I've got to get up in order to, you know, to talk to somebody, you know, at 6 a.m. where it's 9 a.m. here in Sydney. And if you've ever travelled across Australia, there are parts of Western Australia who've created their own time zone because it's such a big break between Darwin and the West Coast that they have this 1.5 hour break. It's quite confusing, but they are man-made time schedules. And so how we view that is quite significant. But it comes back to that God is the creator of time. God who made the sun to rise and to set, who gives us this time of a day of which we live. And we've calculated that that's 24 hours. Though there are some of us who would like that it would be 26 sometimes, or even 28. Sometimes we live that way. Some of us would prefer that it was only 18. We want to be able to control this. But in the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that everything is in God's time. And things may not happen when we think they should, or when they should, because things will happen when God chooses. So we need to ask ourselves again those different questions about our time and how we use it. We might ask ourselves, what do I want to get done in the next week? What is ahead of me for this next month? But what else? What if we would ask ourselves a broader question? What do I want to become in the next season of my life? Who would I like to become? Not to be like somebody else, you know, I want to be like so-and-so, but as a person, who do I want to become? How do I become the person that God has designed me to be? Now, I've not really been one who's known what I wanted to do professionally in my life. I had some preferences at school. You know, I was determined at the end of school that I wanted to do military law in the Air Force. Mainly because I got the reaction, what? I had no intention of going into teaching. I did that kicking and screaming. I had no intention of doing pastoral theological studies. I had no intention of studying in America. Who'd want to go to America when I was growing up? That was what we would say. So the preferences that I had, which were only for a short time, never eventuated. And I confess that my professional life has unfolded before me. That doors and sometimes windows have opened. And I've just followed up in taking those opportunities. Yet here I am, later in the season of my working life, trying to figure out what's next. And I still have no idea. I want to work out what I'm passionate about and follow that, while also being still to listen to what God has to say and see what doors or windows are going to open. So I find myself in this air of limbo. And recently, one of my decisions of how to use my time was to clean out my filing cabinet, of which I found a letter that I wrote in 2007. And blow me down, here I am, exactly in the same place that I was in 2007. And ironically, I'm working with the same person that I was having the discussion with back in 2007. And again, I don't know what's next, God. And yet, as you know, a whole world opened up for me with Godspace and SRE, and it's been an amazing journey. But that season hasn't quite closed as I thought it would, but is closing. Or maybe it won't, I don't know. But there's something else that God has in store, but I don't know what that is yet. So it's part of, all right, how do I use my time there effectively for God? Upon my return from living and studying in the US, I knew that I would still need to complete what was referred to as the fourth year at our Baptist Theological College. It wasn't an option for women when I was originally there. So I enrolled, and for 10 months, I attended lectures and I did the necessary assignments, and then I graduated. But it required me to schedule to do those things. I had to be at places at a set time, and I had to meet deadlines. So doing any study, fulfilling accreditation requirements, means making a commitment. Every 3 years, I update my first aid training. And I put it in my diary every year when I did it and when I need to do it, so I'm reminded of what to do. I need to do my safe churches training every 3 years. So again, that's in my, it's in every diary, so I know for the when I've got to do it. And every 5 years, my working with children check. To retain both my accreditation as a Baptist pastor, I need to do an annual review and a report. To keep my teaching status, I need to do 100 hours of professional development over the next 7 years. So I need to plan those in my schedule. Write them in. They're not just going to happen. And considering, you know, over the last 6 months, I've done 7 hours for my accreditation, teaching one. Well, I'm well on the way. But if I don't start getting my act together, that's not going to happen. And those 7 years will come and I won't have completed it. But what about my spiritual growth? Because I need to make that my first priority. Not that knowing my Bible, going to church, praying, giving financially earns me a place in God's kingdom. I'm not after accreditation for heaven. Because the only way I can be part of God's kingdom is through the work of Jesus Christ. Because of the date he put on his calendar to be on the cross. My spiritual growth is about helping me become more and more of the person that God wants me to be. And that's an ongoing learning experience. And I need to schedule that in it. Because I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for eternity, of which time will not matter at all. In fact, as we were singing, one of the songs made reference to that. About not only we work to eternity, but the difference it makes, in my life now. So what are the life-changing moments in your life that help you prioritize the planning of your week? Last year, as part of our commitment, as part of the commitment of the Baptist Association, people all over New South Wales and even further set up their phones to as an alarm at 11:02. So that would be a reminder to pray. And I did that for every day except Sunday because we were in church and I didn't want my alarm going off during church. And I know Bill and some others did that. A Thursday when I was in the city in the office with my Catholic colleagues, at noon they stopped what they were doing and stood together and prayed. Now I've been there, and I was thinking about that this morning, I'm sure I've been there at noon on other days, and I don't know why I've missed that. But maybe they just go into the chapel, but because there was only a few of us, they just stood there together and prayed. I've always admired the commitment of the Muslims who stop and pray 5 times a day. I know I don't need to be bound to a time to pray, but I also have to confess that there are times when I can go through a day and not consciously pause to pray. So having that commitment, having that reminder, to me is a healthy thing, is part of what I would refer to as a spiritual discipline. So how important are commitments on a calendar, in your diary? What do they mean to us? Well, I believe the things that we write into our calendars and our diaries are the things that we prioritise. I have tickets to the Ensemble Theatre. I like live theatre. And when my tickets come, I get out my diary and I put in all the dates and the times. And that includes travelling time to make sure that I'm there 10 to 15 minutes before it starts. So that, you know, that I've got time to go to the loo, have a drink, and then find my seat. And anyone who goes to live theatre will know that if you are late, there are lockout periods. And depending on the performance, you may not be allowed into a certain part of the drama, or you may not even be allowed in at all. It's the same with going to the movies. I like the trailers at the beginning, and I really dislike missing the beginning of a movie. And I insist on staying to the end to see all the credits. So then that becomes quite challenging, a moment for me. Do I put the same priority on church? Imagine if we locked the door at 10 on Sunday morning and sort of said, well, you can't come in until we get to the offering, then we'll let you in. I hope yours is an uncomfortable laugh like it is for mine, because it actually is very true. I make it a priority that I would never think of being late to a show, but I don't think anything about being late for church. Well, I do, but not as much. Growing up in my family household, it was a sin, according to my father, to be late, especially for church. In fact, if we were less than 30 minutes early, we were late. And I think about how my mum would organise us five kids to get to church on time. That is, 30 minutes early. Maybe I've subconsciously rebelled against that regimen. I know when I'm not responsible for music, because then I'm 2 hours earlier, I do find I can get into a sluggish way of thinking and drag myself to be here on time. So this has challenged me to rethink my priorities about Sunday morning. First, I ensure that church is in my diary. It's not an assumed thing. It's actually in my diary, like everything else. It's not that, do I toss a coin, do I want to go today, do I not want to go today, do I want to sleep in, or whatever. So when I'm in town, meeting with my church family is important. And yes, there are times when I need to be elsewhere for work or my, as I said, my commitment to my mum. But when I'm here, I'm going to be here. I like how the gospel speaks about Jesus' commitment. Luke 4:16 says, and on the Sabbath, Jesus went to the worship gathering, as was his custom. It was on his schedule. It was on his calendar. Who do you want to become? If you have even the vaguest idea about wanting to become a more spirit-pumped-up Christ follower, someone who knows a little more, feels a little bit more deeply, has a little more direction in life, there are a couple of things that we need to have on our calendars. What are our priorities? Spending your own time with God, being fed by the Holy Spirit, reading up on the teachings of Jesus. To think about blocking out 15 minutes, and it can be more, but starting with 15 minutes each day to sit in a chair or somewhere comfortable, to open up God's Word, to read and then see how you can apply it to your life. And then say to God, thanks God for your watching over my life. If you have anything that you want to whisper to me, I will listen and obey. How about blocking church time and committing to be on time, of being present, of being involved, of contributing? What about our family and our friends? How we block in our time for work and for school. So to consider all those things, what we need to be doing, when adding them to the calendar, what do I want to become? How will the decisions that I make of what I'm going to do make long-term in my life? Now, I've been out of shape, and I way out of shape for way too long. So there's no purpose in complaining about it. And so one of the decisions I've made over the past few months is, what am I going to do about it? So for me, walking and swimming are the things I like to do. So they're in the diary. And already I'm feeling better. I started by putting into the diary, walk, swim. Sandy likes the walk part, doesn't like the swim part. You can see the look on her face when I'm putting my swimmers on, because she knows she can't come. But the power of words, just those two words to begin with, but the power of any words in a time slot on a calendar lived out changes who you become. So what are you focusing on becoming? Is it a different job? Is it something to be volunteering in? Is it being more effective in your current job? Is it about, for those at school, being a better student? Is it about being more financially stable? Is it about being committed to strengthening your marriage? To be a person who is present, who is a present parent or friend? So how are you going to become these things unless you actually put something in your calendar that puts them as a priority? I have friends and acquaintances who are very happily married couples, and you know, occasionally I like to say, you know, how can you still be in love with them? And almost everyone in a happy marriage department will say, well, we have a date night. Sometimes it's not every week, but you know, it's at least once a fortnight. And we go out, and so then they'll tell me, you know, where they go and what they do and things like this. And so these couples are committed to it. It's on the calendar. And nothing else gets in the way. And if someone wants to call a meeting, you're just not available. You don't need to defend why you can't do something else if you've already put something in your calendar and that's your priority. If that's your priority, then say, I'm just not available. I've sat with people with their calendars trying to think, and I don't sit there and go, you know, this is so annoying. I wish they would give up, and just do it my way. Because we all have to work that together. But how we view our time and other people's time is important. We need to honour our employers and our employees to be there on time, to work the hours that we are being paid for and not take long breaks. I recently officiated at a wedding, and the discussion the night before was about the tradition of the, you know, the bride being late, of which the bride-to-be quickly said, oh no, my father has taught me that if we have invited these friends and family to be present at this event, then we need to honour them, so I'm going to be there on time. And she was. Well, at least outside she was. The photographer is the one who takes up all the time, but that, I admire that, you know, that honouring of other people. Jesus said one time in Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 5, "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no." So Jesus is saying, keep your word. If something starts at 9, then don't roll in at 5 after. You know, if at work, you know, if lunch is for an hour, then don't take an hour and a half. And what I'm about to say is a big challenge and rebuke to myself. It's also about being prompt to meetings. Again, it's about honouring other people. There are times when, yes, we get delayed by, you know, circumstances beyond our control. But if we say yes that we're going to be at a meeting then at a set time, then it should be yes, and schedule it accordingly. Being prompt or lack of is about character. It's about giving our word or not giving our word or keeping our word. So we need to look at our schedules. Are we products of being overscheduled? Are we doing things that we don't need to be doing? Or are we not writing in those things, even more importantly? That's probably the biggest challenge. So to ask ourselves, do we want to be a God-first person? Do we seek first the kingdom of God? We all have things that we have to do. But if we put God first, if we write that, write whatever we write with that in mind and fill up our time slots to determine what we want to become, it will impact what the kind of person we will become. We also need to ensure that we put in times for rest, for holidays, for rest for once, not just going somewhere different and doing the same things, but actually allowing our bodies to be regenerated. That may mean an hour on a day, or a day break, or a weekend. I've prepared two sheets if you're interested in a little bit of homework. So they're up the back. So the single one is just to ask yourself, just to look at the past week. How did I fill in my days? Yeah, in regards to my spiritual growth, in regards to my family, in regards to relational, vocational work or school, which for the kids that'll be blank, 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 or for some of you work-wise and all that, recreational, also rest and sleep. And because I'd already printed it and had the thought this morning, might add underneath, and what about the miscellaneous, the TV, the things that just suck us in? And then there's another one that you can take the whole page, and if there's not enough, we can print some more. This is for a month, to just look at, before I write my schedule, do I want to just plan it a bit better, you know, plan it with this in mind? How much time am I spending with God in my relationship? How much am I spending with other people? There are some things that we have a sense of no control of, but we've committed to work or whatever that may be, and that's fine. But put those in, but prioritise how much time am I spending? And I actually find, for me, that it's a lot of it's the unscheduled stuff that suck up all my time. So if you want to improve your health, then schedule exercise, exercise, exercise. Just put it in the calendar. If you want to grow spiritually, then put in those 15 minutes a day. If it's the date nights, then you need to add them. If you need to be at home more because you look at your schedule and go, you know what, I'm out too much. So you need to, you know, put in home to be with spouse and kids. There are times for me, who lives on my own, that I've actually got to build in, I need to not be at home on my own and build those relationships. And so that changes for me. A class, do you need to, if you want to have a change in job, do you need to do some training? Then do you need to book in to do some night classes or go to TAFE or a uni course, whatever it is? You might even consider theological studies. Do something that will eventually get your life back on better track. Those holidays, short breaks. So that means looking at a year calendar. We are going to book in a break at this point in time. For me, going away over January, early January, is not good because there's lots of things to do. The best thing about it, and I learnt this many years ago in my role, is that everybody thinks you're on holidays. And so the phone doesn't ring, you don't get any emails, and it's the most productive time for me was during January. So I'm going away for a week at the end of January, beginning of February, when everybody else is going to get busy, and I'm going, yep, you can do it.
Really?
Yep. Yep, I blocked that in. Yes, see, I've been learning. If you want to become someone fundamentally different than you are right now, then you need to prioritise and to put these life-changing commitments on the calendar and live them out. We want to simplify. We want to unclutter our lives. Because when it gets so cluttered, we can't hear God. So what changes are ahead for you? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word which talks to us about time and reminds us that we only have one life. And we can so easily squander it by just filling in our schedules with stuff that don't even matter that much. And we can become tired and grumpy and people who worry instead of becoming people who seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to be people who function well, with families that function well, with bodies that function well, with minds that are still learning and growing. Lord, help us to become new creatures, your new creation. We want to live out the potential that you put in our lives. So help us, God, we pray. We'll do our part, but we pray that you will guide us with your wisdom and that you will speak to us with your answers so that in your time all things will come into play. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.